This is Kennedy Malloy.
Now from New Zealand, from Auckland, the great Neil Finn.
Well done,
Kennedy Malloy.
Neil,
great song.
Welcome back.
Hey, yo. Nice to be with you guys.
It's great to have you back, and it's great to have new music from Crowded House, especially with the new lineup, which involves two of your boys.
Yeah.
Talk us through that.
Well, I mean, it's I think the whole thing became exciting to me when we devised a new kind of redefined Crowded House as a result of, you know, having played a lot with Liam and Elroy in the last few years and really worked up some incredibly good intuitive music together as family members, but also those guys have had a lot of experience now, so they come with their songwriting and the arrangement chops as well. I didn't know what they would make of the idea, but it just seemed like the right time. This was before the whole lockdown happened. So we were, I'd come off the back of the Fleetwood Mac thing, very revitalized and really in the mood to go and make a record. And kind of into classic bands, strangely. And it just gave me a bit of a shot in the arm. And then Mitchell Froom had been playing a couple of shows with us recently. And as our original producer, it seemed entirely right that we get a bit of soul and spirit from the early days, who's, you know, he's an extraordinary keyboard player. We told him he wasn't allowed to produce. He just had to play keyboard.
So what are the band rules? Is it one person, one vote? Does Dad get the casting?
Yeah, good point.
Bid? Who chooses the songs that go on the album?
Well, it's a Finn power block, obviously. We haven't had to apply it yet. It hasn't come down to No, it's actually been remarkably equitable within the band. I don't sense any kind of reticence. You know, everyone's got pretty strong feelings about the way music should be.
Yes.
Which gives some good tussle. But, you know, I think the album, it evolved naturally initially as a rhythm tracks in a studio kind of band playing on the floor thing. And we wanted it to make an outgoing record, which I'm really happy to say we did. You know, and then we were all in our little pods making these, you know, additions to the record. And we had a little longer than we thought we had because we weren't touring all of a sudden. So we sort of threw a few of them in the air and let them land again in different shapes. And but it was really creative and
fantastic.
We took internet recording to its nth degree, you know, like we really learned how to do it.
Well, that's a good question. How have you found songwriting in the age of coronavirus? Because we thought, obviously, bands can't tour, although I know you're back in New Zealand in March, but bands can't tour. We thought this could be a really vital time for bands who have run out of options, can stop procrastinating, as writers often do,
producing,
and get back into the studio. Do you think there'll be a whole raft of great music that'll come out of this scenario?
There'll be a raft of music, no doubt, and I hope it's going to be great. Yeah, there should be some great songs being written.
Yeah,
we luckily had something on the go before the whole thing happened, so we sort of had a focus for our attention and songs that were at least well on the way. I changed my feelings about some of them, and we gravitated towards different songs perhaps than we might have in different circumstances, but it enabled us a lot of time to concentrate and really focus on music. We were lucky. We felt very fortunate to be in a good circumstance, family and bubble around. And I mean, I've talked to other songwriters who said, and other writers generally who said, I just can't work at all. I don't, you know, it's just too weird. I don't know what to write about. Who cares, you know, if anybody cares anymore, you know, like this. Every existential crisis going on, you could imagine some of them are creative and some of them are not.
I can imagine. And young Elroy is on the drums?
He is, yeah.
Is that right? Is he like a young Paul Hester? Is there any kind of a Yoda-like advice that you've given in regards to drumming for Crowded House?
He's actually grown up with it, and he's one of the few people in the world that can play brushes like Paul.
Yes.
He, you know, naturally has a bit of Paul's feel, I think. He's just grown up with it. It feels incredibly natural. And Paul, Nick and he had already formed a really good partnership. We've done a few gigs together. So they play together like they've always played together. And similarly, Liam grew up with the band as well. So it's deep in their DNA. It feels entirely natural that they're there and they've got a lot to contribute. So I think the revitalized, sort of reformed Crowded House is one of the reasons there was an exciting feeling about it to start off with. You know, there's been so many incarnations and different twists and turns. And, you know, we will always miss Mr. Hester, but I know he would be happy about seeing this lineup. I'm sure he would be.
Of course he would. I'm sure he'd be happy to have new music from Crowded House. Is there more to come? Is a new single? Is this like a little taster for
when can we expect an album?
A bigger body of work?
There's an album on the way. It's called Dreamers Are Waiting.
Okay.
We're probably waiting a little longer than we thought, but it's going to be out early next year. We're just trying to get them to give us a date for when the vinyl can get pressed.
Okay.
Because we're intent on having that available on release. And there's big queues now.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I'm a big vinyl. I love buying records. And it's a lost art for a lot of young people coming through, Neil, as you probably know, that they don't get to experience buying records and having that tactile and liner notes and credits and all these sorts of things.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. But I do think it's actually maintained quite a lot of integrity, and young people are moving towards it. I mean, not all of them. Some of them are just entirely content to listen to music on their iPhones. But we love the experience of putting the needle down, just the sound of the needle dropping onto the vinyl.
Absolutely.
It just puts you in the right mood.
Oh,
you know?
I love it. Going right back to the gramophone, I'm afraid. Now, listen, I want to keep exploring the family aspect, because it was another big year. We spoke to your brother, Tim, this year, about 40 years since True Colors. Again, it's amazing to think of the history. And I remember the very first clips coming out with Split Ends, when I just blew my mind, and those songs to me are songs that are very important and timeless to my youth. And to speak to him and to go, wow, it's 40 years. Can you tell me what you remember of the True Colors age and your experience joining Split Ends, again, in a family point of view?
Yeah. Well, I was a young buck and I was just loving every moment. You know, I joined my brother's band. I was pretty useless when I joined, and I had to get good fast, and they kind of, you know, they backed me for having the DNA, and they knew I could sing, and I think they knew that I could write a few songs, so they all kind of crystallized around the same time. And we'd gone through quite a hard period before True Colors, almost really broken up. We were wondering what the hell, but we came back and Australia revitalized us. We had the it was a hit. Just something about all that touring and that pub scene and that time was very vital and vibrant thing for a band, and so we just went and got really, really good and in the pubs and made True Colors as a pop record. We wanted to make a really exuberant pop record. We had young David Tickle, who was, you know, this whiz kid from up north, and it just all crystallized in 4 or 5 weeks at Armstrong's there in Melbourne, and you know, Bob's your uncle. We were doing slow bicycling around the halls of Armstrong's. Eddie Rayner was the champion because he had very big calf muscles, and they were
Oh, well, there's some information we look forward to. And just quickly, Fleetwood Mac, I'm guessing you had a ball, that was good
fun. What a great show.
I mean, there's no pressure on you in that. It's such a different thing for you to do live, because it's their tour. You're on board. Was it just fun to not be the guy who everyone's coming to necessarily see?
Yeah, well, it had its own set of pressures within the band, because I wanted to do the right, you know, I wanted to really present, be there for them. And being part of a band was a great experience for me to see myself as part of the whole and not just the front of it.
Yes.
You know, and they're great people, and the touring community were great. So, yeah, I had a ball. It was a totally unexpected development at this point
to
join another band, much less one of the great bands. So, in fact, it seems really weird now. It seems like it didn't happen. We've had the whole lockdown.
As long as they didn't talk you into 3-day benders or group sex, I'll be happy, because we know what they're like. And
look, that was the 70s. It was a different time. I
hate to see you dragged into
that. Wasn't a hell of a lot of that going on, to be honest. It's been a yarn. But I think they really had their fill back in the day. And now
they're not going to die wondering.
Well, they're all really relieved to be alive. And still able to make really good music. Yeah, I mean, Mick Fleetwood is an absolute legend in my mind, and I don't say that word very often. So, but he's kept the flame for that band going since the late 60s. How many incarnations? It's hard enough to keep a band going for 5 years, but for 50 years. God,
amazing.
Agreed. Well, it's great to have you back making new music with Crowded House, who we just love, and we've played that for the first time today, and I'm sure we'll play a lot more. Before I let you go, I'm trying to break into music myself.
Nick wants
Can
to
I
be
play
a
you a
recording
little
artist.
I've done a cover of
I don't know whether Neil needs to hear this.
Neil, I would like Neil's genuine feedback.
I'm already intrigued.
Come on, Neil. Well, this was Mick's cover of Puddle of Mud.
Puddle of Mud doing a cover of Nirvana, doing a cover of their own
original
Nirvana, which is about a girl.
I was waiting for somebody to do that.
you've
bloody done it.
So I'll just play you a little excerpt and then we'll discuss it on the other
side.
This
is Mick's About a Girl. To Neil Finn.
Standing in your life, I do hope you have the time. I do pick a number two. I do keep a drink with you. I'll take advantage while you hang me out to dry. But I can see you every night.
Ricky.
Okay. Oh, is it too much cowbell? Is it too much cowbell?
I was going to say top marks of the cowbell.
Thank you.
Really, one of the
cowbell wins.
One of the bright lights of that recording.
Yes.
I think you hit that top note once.
I did. Not in the right spot.
Not there though.
But yeah. I did do it. And you got to remember, it's the puddle of mud cover that's important.
Yeah, we get that.
I was taking that into account.
We're doing Crowd House Tour in Australia next. If you went, I've got a guest in the house, someone who might like to come up and join us for a song, you'd be okay with?
Well, if you do a bit of practice, maybe.
Yeah, no, that's a no.
I don't know. I mean, you'd always be welcome, but whether we have the microphone on, it might be like a Trump-Biden debate.
Good on you,
Neil.
Well
done, Neil.
Always
so
a
great.
Pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for
whatever you want is the new single. It's out today. New album coming out next year. Stay tuned. The great Neil Finn on Kennedy Malloy. Thanks, Neil.
Take care.